just 22-year-old, his third straight grand final here. Cleary digs into the line. Edwards joins in. Turns it for Crichton, who sprints back on the inside. And Crichton has scored the first try of the grand final. It was 12-0 in favour of the Rabbitohs. It's 6-0 in favour of his team now. Quick hands on. Toto takes it. Toto scores. Another try for the Panthers. It's Toto in the left corner. The Panthers can smell blood again here. Cleary, Edwards, Staines. Charlie Staines has scored! It's the try that probably wins the grand final. The trophy is staying in Penrith. They have defended their title. It is one of the greatest premiership defences the game has ever seen.
Well, I went searching the channels, actually, because I wanted to hear the sound of Andrew Voss calling that grand final, but couldn't find it. But we have got him this morning, and I'm so grateful for that. Of course, Voss is just involved with his own breakfast show with Greg Alexander, who I'm not even sure turned up to work this morning. I guess he might have, but he had reason to celebrate anyway. But those were the highlights of one of the most one-sided performances in recent years from a Penrith side that just did not let Parramatta play for the first 75 minutes of the game. Quite incredible one-sided dominant performance. It was the Battle of the West Sydney, and it turned out to be more of a massacre with blue and gold strewn all over the ground. Vossi is with us now, which we're thankful for, Vossi. That was very, very clinical for 95% of it.
Yeah, hey, Smithy. Welcome to everyone listening. Can I first of all tell you about Brandy? Brandy had warned us on Friday, because he couldn't let the cat out of the bag, because he was involved very heavily. If you watch the coverage last night, he ended up there with Sturlow presenting the trophy, and then if Penrith won, he was going to be presenting the rings on stage, which he did, and he'd said that I would be going back to Penrith, win, lose or draw, so I can't guarantee I'll be on the program on Monday. But he said, but I'll definitely call, I'll definitely be right. We've had people have sightings of Brandy all morning, that he's in the old Penrith gear, that he's been singing with Jimmy Barnes. No word from Brandy. Look, I can't even guarantee he'll be back on deck tomorrow. He is celebrating. He looks so happy on stage last night. He is Penrith head to toe. I know he loved his time at the Warriors, Smithy, but he's a Penrith man, and you can appreciate that. And he's very proud of his club. He's a board member, and that club has just won everything this year. As for the performance itself, you know, I tried to come up with a hypothetical today. Pick your best grand final performances. So pick, say, Roosters of 2018, where they beat Melbourne that first half, where they led 22-0 at half time. Think of other performances, great performances. The Knights way back in 2001, where they led 24-0 at half time against Parramatta. How would it stack up against Penrith last night? And you know, it was a performance of excellence. Like, it started with Moses Leota and James Fisher-Harris. How good were they, Smithy? Talk about old-fashioned, you know, layer platform. Those forwards ran through brick walls. If you had a stuck up a wall, they would have run through it. That then set the stage that when Penrith got their first try in the 12th minute through Stephen Crichton, the Parramatta Reels must have looked at each other in the in-goal and said, what the hell is this? Like, this is like no other game we've ever played. Like, yeah, we've come here ready to play, and they're already top gear. Like, they're gears above us. And it just continued. I can't remember a bad patch for Penrith in the game. And I know they considered two tries in the last few minutes, but that was by the by. It was just an outstanding performance. I declare it this way. The best team in the competition produced the best performance of the season to win the grand final, and they have now won back-to-back. And I can't see them outside the top four any time in the next 5 years, Smithy. They're going to be... They are the new Melbourne. They are a powerhouse, the Penrith Panthers.
Okay, let's look at the first 40 minutes in particular, because you talked about Leota and Fisher-Harris as being key to it, but across the board, the physicality and the organisation of their defence, it really just gave... It just gave no one any opportunity to have an attacking platform for Parramatta.
I agree. Execution of, you know, buzz phrases these days about the process, go through the process. It was every set. It was every set, attention to detail. They got this bloke at fullback, Dylan Edwards. I call him the door snake, because nothing gets past him. He's all over the place. He's reading the play and kicks what's coming. It's almost like they know what's coming. Defensively, you know, if they had a weakness, and you would have heard in commentary, I think Joe was talking about, well, or Cooper in the Fox League commentary was talking about, well, Charlie Staines can be a weakness, but there was no chance to exploit it. I thought Stephen Crichton very good last night. Just everyone did their job. Brian Todd, oh, outstanding. The bench, I mean, Scotty Sorensen, what an improved player Scott is. And they lose, you know, Viliami Kikau next year, but he can be a starter in any club, Scotty Sorensen. Worthy of New Zealand international honours. Spencer Lenu coming off the bench, fantastic. Appy Korosau, they start him off the bench. He's arguably the best hooker in the game. He's now a three-time premiership winner. And they're able to play a structure and a tactically have him coming off the bench, and it works beautifully. And then I look at the execution of their plays in attack, Smithy. It was sensational. The try for Sorensen from Cleary, he knew how Gutherson defends in the line. He caught them out. Sorensen scores untouched, chasing a kick in a grand final. What about that for execution? Now, I can't pick a hole. The only thing I don't like is their theme song. It's not my favourite theme song. That's the only criticism I got of Penrith on grand final day. I don't like their team song. That's about it.
Hey, look, there was an interesting comparison towards the end of the game. I've got to say, they were talking about that the number 7 jersey for Penrith, right?
Yep.
You probably heard it. I was just thinking, I'd love your opinion on that, because you work so closely with one of the guys who was mentioned. Of course, Craig Gower was also mentioned as well. But this fellow at such a young age and his ability to control a game, this Nathan Cleary.
It is interesting because, see, I've had the pleasure of watching in my media career all of Greg Alexander's career, and he was starring. So just so our listeners know, Brandy's background at Penrith, he was the Dally M Rookie of the Year in 1984. The next year, 85, he's the Dally M Player of the Year. So he goes from Rookie to Player of the Year, best in the comp, in the space of 12 months. And Penrith made the finals for the first time in 1985. So they were not a heavyweight back then when Greg Alexander was a star of our game. But at the same time, he was in an era where we had players like Sturlow and Ricky Stewart and, you know, other halfbacks of the highest quality. You know, Steve Mortimer was still playing at that point. I mean, there were so many great halfbacks. So Brandy played rep football, maybe not quite as much as he certainly was capable of doing. He was a sensational player, Smithy. And then we work our way through the era. Craig Gower, the 2003 halfback. Now, I still call Craig Gower the best schoolboy footy player that I ever watched. And I've seen, you know, the likes of Benji and all of them come through schoolboys, David Fifita and the rest. Craig Gower is still the best I saw. And he was just tough. And he was ready to play first grade as a 16-year-old, Craig Gower. So sensational player as well. And now we get Nathan Cleary. Oh, by the way, Greg Alexander was schoolboy star as well. He was a player of the year as a schoolboy. Nathan Cleary wasn't a standout as a schoolboy. Very capable, no doubt about it. Very efficient, organiser, but didn't have a great step, wasn't quick. I saw many better halfbacks than Nathan Cleary, and I saw him playing for St Dominic's College of Penrith in the second-tier schoolboy competition here. But I look at all the stepping stones in his career, and I go back to his junior footy days in New Zealand. I'm sure it's played a big part. Nathan played junior footy there in New Zealand, playing against some big kids, I bet. And he had to be tough, and he had to defend. So there's one, you know, block put together, a foundation stone. The fact he didn't play for an elite school necessarily, one of the sports high schools where they do rugby league as a subject, and he had to do his training on his own to become better, you know, and practice. And another factor, the bloke watches every game going, and he's been around football all his life with his dad, so he's watched every game, and he's seen things close up. He's smart between the ears. He's the best in the world between the ears right now, Nathan Cleary. And then he puts it with his skill set, and he's not the quickest, and he doesn't have the most prodigious step, but he's still competent at all those things. His kicking game he works on relentlessly. He is the full package. Give him another couple of years and he'll be ahead of Brandy if he stays on this rise at the moment. But right at the moment, I'm still putting Brandy in front for his whole career versus Nathan's up to now. But I hope that answers it. It's a long road, long-winded answer, but he's a champion player and the best is still to come.
I don't think, look, 28-12, and we've talked about some of the highlights of it, but I don't think in any game of rugby or rugby league I've seen, perhaps with the exception of the George Gregan tackle on Jeff Wilson all those years ago, a tackle have so much impact on a match in terms of the fans, in terms of...
Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen a guy who was embraced by pretty much his whole team for making a tackle. I'm talking about Dylan Edwards here, folks. If you have not seen this tackle... It was the moment that Parramatta, for me, absolutely knew they had no price getting back. What a tackle.
Minute,
what a tackle.
58th minute, that tackle is made. And we said, I hosted a number of events going into the grand final and, you know, spoke about, you know, to players that had been part of big moments. And someone's always going to be part of a moment that's going to be replayed hundreds of thousands of times. And I mean that literally. The Edwards tackle... just like the Scott Sattler tackle on Todd Byrne back in 2003, will be replayed hundreds of thousands of times. It was a tackle of excellence, like a classic copybook cover tackle by Dylan Edwards on Bailey Simons, and a great attacking rush by Parramatta, a great adventure to get themselves in the clear, and Edwards' tackle was just perfect. And what I like most about that is that, you know, that in this game where we have these athletes, Smithy, you know, the bigger, stronger, faster and all of this, Dylan Edwards isn't that. You know, he's unassuming. You go up next to him, he's not, you know, he's not made of iron. He's a relatively small player. He comes from a little country town and he's featured in the biggest moment of last night's match. I know there's big moments and all the point-scoring plays, but the moment that's going to get replayed more than any other will be that tackle. And from a little bloke called Dylan Edwards. What a moment. I will say the Sattler tackle's more dramatic because that's the back rower chasing down the winger and the wet and all that, and he comes from behind. But Edwards, for copybook, for technique, for just, you know, we're leading big, but we're not letting anyone get past us. It was an amazing moment.
And it confirmed the Clive Churchill medal for him as well. And he probably wasn't one of the talked about players in that category going into the match, but he certainly deserved it. They lose Kikau, they lose Kore Iso, the Panthers, but they won't lose much else going into next year. That's scary, as you say.
Yeah, well, you know, they've won every grade here, Smithy. They've won the second-tier competition, the New South Wales Cup. Yesterday they won the state championship final. They beat the premiers out of Queensland. They won the under-21s, which is called the Jersey Flag. They won the under-19 comp, which is called the SG Ball. I mean, there's your production line of talent. Now, not all of those players from the 21s and the 19s will automatically turn into first-grade stars, but you know you're going to get four or five at very least that are going to be knocking on the door. So, as I say, they are the new Melbourne. They are going to be a powerhouse club, I believe, for the next 4 or 5 years at least, and maybe beyond that. And just to highlight where they've come from, they've now made the finals in 7 of their last 9 years, and for the last 3 they've made the grand final, and for the last 2 they won the comp. The previous 9 years to that last 9-year period, Smithy, they only made the finals 1 of 9. You know, 1 year out of 9. So I almost direct this at the Warriors. You can turn things around, and I think it does start in your own backyard. And the Warriors, you know, talent identification, you know, making some big calls on players, and they do have to let some go to keep others. And Penrith did that over the years. I mean, there's, you know, Cronulla won the comp with blokes called Wade Graham and Luke Lewis. They were Penrith juniors. So they've made calls over the years and have been criticised for it, but look where they are now. So I hope that the clubs that aren't doing so well can look at the Panthers and say, well, there is a formula for success. A few of those young stars become stars. That certainly helps. Good coach, good confidence in your system, all buying into the one, you know, all on the same page from first grade down to your 16s and 15s. That's a real secret ingredient or an ingredient for success.
Both coaches having sons on the score sheet as well, with Jacob, after coming on quite late in the piece and being very energetic, actually, in a side that was flagging, but he scored. And for Brad Arthur, that would be a moment at some stage he'll be able to reflect on with a bit of pride. But What next for Brad Arthur? What about the Eels looking forward?
Well, I think, you know, we use the term premiership window. I think the window opened. I don't know whether the window remain open. So they're going to have to jimmy it open for next year. They lose players. Niokore is a huge loss. Papali'i, massive loss. I mean, he was good again last night. What a pickup. Yeah. How good are the Tigers going with the two players they got out of the grand final for next year? Mm. I can't see how Parramatta are possibly going to be a better side next year than they were this year. Now, it still might be good enough to get them to a grand final, but I don't see how they get past Penrith. So in terms of winning a premiership, last night I think was their chance, unless they unearth some young talent coming through or they pick up some big signings along the way. I don't think the side last night with the players they're losing can achieve what the team did this year in making the grand final. So I could be proven wrong there, but I think Parramatta might be the Canberra who, you know, made the grand final in 19, had a shot against the Roosters. I think that's Parramatta's path. They'll still be good, but they're not going to make the grand final. That was it last night. That was their chance.
Fossey, just a couple of things before I let you go, and I thank you for this extended interview. The Warriors have signed Dragons back rower Jackson Ford. What have they signed? What kind of player?
Oh, just steady. Well, see, Jackson Ford has had, I guess you could say, limited minutes. I tell you what he is. He's a product of Gerringong, the great town, and we can tie Parramatta into it. Mick Cronin still runs the pub there in Gerringong. Beautiful, on the south coast of New South Wales. Competent, but not a match winner, not a tackle buster, Jackson Ford, but he's had a bit of, you'd like to think in signing someone like Jackson Ford, his best footballers ahead of him. So they get him, having come through country rugby league and first grade with the St George Illawarra Dragons. I think it's going to be a very big off-season for the Warriors, but what is hard is that the World Cup is on, and it's going to be the same for many clubs. I mean, how many Penrith players are going to be involved in the World Cup? Just about everyone. So it's going to be a very disrupted off-season preparation, and obviously some teams need more preparation than others. But that's the challenge for new coach Webster at the Warriors, how he's going to plan that out. With so many players away. When November 1 rolls around, or the first week of November, when a lot of teams normally start their off-season training, most of their players are going to be on the other side of the world at the World Cup. That's where I'm headed, Smithy. On Wednesday week, I'm flying out to the World Cup for 6 weeks and can't wait. It's going to be one hell of a tournament, but then you've got to give your players a break after that. So really, your off-season work with a lot of your players not going to start until after Christmas, is it, Smithy? And we're talking about a February start. We are talking about starting the first week of February with trials next year. We've got All-Stars in Rotorua. So I don't think it's going to be a really limited preparation. It's going to be a test of how they get quality work when they won't have the quantity of time.
Bossy, you're going to be calling, hopefully, some New Zealand games so we can hear you. And they finalised the Kiwis this morning. It looks pretty strong now that he's been able to, Michael Maguire's been able to narrow it down to the required amount, including Jared Warrior Hargraves, who has made the cut, one Warrior, and Dallin Watene Zalesniak, but a whole host of Eels and Panthers in particular, who are at the top of their game, and some Melbourne Storm boys who will be quite fresh.
Well, I'll pass on this. I had Matty Johns on my program this morning. He does a Monday morning hour. His last word as he signed off, because it's his last Monday morning for the year, he said, "I'm on board with New Zealand to win the World Cup." That from Matty Johns this morning. So I look at the squad and, you know, I see pretty much all positions covered. If these blokes play at their best, I'm with Matty. I mean, it's a super semi-final. Australia play New Zealand in the semi-final, you know, all things being well. But you turn out a performance with Tarpany in the forwards, our best front rower this year. You throw Joey Manu fit and healthy in the centres. You get Jerome Hughes healthy. You have James Fisher-Harris running at you. Big Nelson, Brandon Smith. It's a super squad. Dylan Brown, if he can bring some of his best NRL form to the world stage, look out. The Kiwis are a massive chance of knocking over Australia and then going into the final as favourites.
Bossy, absolutely. Thank you so much for your NRL input for us. It's been great talking to you every Monday morning. Have a terrific trip to the UK. I know you'll enjoy every moment of it. And we look forward to hearing some of your calls coming back from there, mate. Travel safe, and thank you again.
Yes, Smithy, working for the BBC. This is Andrew Voss signing off.